Well, hello and welcome to worship from St. James, West Streatham on this Palm Sunday. Peace be with you. Whoever you are and wherever you're joining us from today, thank you so much for tuning in as we begin the journey with Jesus through Jerusalem to Good Friday and to the empty tomb. Luke writes in his gospel, when he came near the place where the crowd goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He replied, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Lord God, we thank you for this Palm Sunday at the beginning of the most momentous week in the history of the universe. Lord, we pray as we gather in worship now as an online community of faith that you would fill us with the joy of that Palm Sunday crowd. Lord, that we might begin this momentous week walking with Jesus. Lord, that you might open our eyes to see more and more of his glory. Lord, we're not stones. We are human beings, and you created us to glorify you and enjoy you forever. Lord, may our worship bring you joy and praise this day as we shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to turn now to our Bible reading, which this morning is from Luke 19 and verses 28 to 44. And Nat is going to read that for us. So Nat, take it away.
Today's reading is taken from Luke 19, from verse 28 to 44. The triumphal entry. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now, thank you so much for bringing that reading for us this morning. Do please keep your Bibles open there at Luke chapter 19 and verses 28. To the end. Well, I wonder if any of you remember the 2nd of June 1953 as Elizabeth arrives with great pomp and ceremony for her coronation as Queen of the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth. And today, on Palm Sunday, we remember Jesus of Nazareth arriving in Jerusalem on AD 33 for what many hoped and expected would be his coronation as King of Israel. There are, of course, some similarities between the two events, not least the adulation of the crowds. Thousands of people cheering and waving and acclaiming, in one case, "Long live the Queen," and in the other, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," Luke 19, verse 38. But Jesus rarely followed convention. He had a habit of bucking the trend, deliberately defying expectations, and Palm Sunday was no exception. We're going to see today three examples of this in our text in Luke chapter 19. The transport, the tears, and the temple. So first, the transport. Queen Elizabeth arrived in a golden carriage, accompanied by a huge entourage and an armed escort. The equivalent of the golden carriage in AD 33 would have been a war horse and an escort of armed men bearing spears and swords. But Jesus adopts a very different mode of transport for his coronation. Look at verse 30 of Luke chapter 19. "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Verse 35, "They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it." A colt, by the way, is the foal of a donkey. The cheering crowds wanted a warlike king who would fight the occupying Roman army, who had replaced the Greek army, who'd replaced the Persian army, who'd replaced the Babylonian army, who'd replaced the Assyrian army, and free the people after generations and generations of occupation. The waving of palm branches was a provocative symbol of Jewish independence and rebellion against Rome. The Aramaic cry, "Hoshana," means "save us now." But in fulfillment of the ancient prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, Jesus arrives not on a war horse, but on the foal of a donkey, a symbol of peace. It comes to make peace, not war. Peace between a holy God and an unholy people. Peace on the vertical between God and humanity, which leads to peace on the horizontal between human beings. Peace achieved not by conquest, but by crucifixion. Not by killing his enemies, but by being killed by them and for them. Not by taking the lives of others, but by giving his own life for others. What kind of king is this? A humble, self-sacrificial king? The transport. And then second, notice the tears. I don't know if Elizabeth shed any tears on her coronation day, but if she did, I'm sure there were tears of joy. Luke tells us that Jesus did shed tears on Palm Sunday, but his were not tears of joy, but rather tears of sorrow. Look at verse 41. "As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They'll dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." on our regular pilgrimages to the Holy Land, we do the Palm Sunday walk, retracing the steps of Jesus, walking down the Mount of Olives from the top down the western slope towards the city. About halfway down, there's a beautiful little church called Dominus Flevit, which means the Lord wept. And it marks the spot where Jesus wept, described for us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. The church is built in the shape of a teardrop. And on each corner of the church is a tear jar, reminiscent of the tear jars that Jews used to use to catch their tears, to bring before God as a memorial of their grief and sorrow. From inside the church, you get a stunning view of the Temple Mount and the city over which Jesus wept. 1,000 years before Palm Sunday, Jesus' great ancestor, King David, made the same journey as Jesus, but going in the opposite direction. David's son Absalom had led a coup and dethroned his own father and replaced him as king, forcing David to flee from Jerusalem with a small group of friends and allies. They walked slowly up the western slope of the Mount of Olives in the opposite direction to Jesus, and halfway David stopped and wept, shedding tears of sorrow because the people had rejected him as their rightful king. Now, on Palm Sunday, Jesus does the same, coming the other way, knowing that despite the adulation of the crowds, by the end of that same week, the cheers would turn to crucify. And they would reject him as their rightful king, just as they had rejected David as their rightful king. And they would suffer the tragic consequences of doing so, described so graphically by Jesus in our text today, words which were fulfilled in AD 70, just a few years after crucifixion and resurrection. What kind of king is this? A weeping king? But just as David returned to Jerusalem in triumph months after his rejection to retake his throne, so Jesus will one day return in triumph and with great glory, and every eye will see him, and every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, either willingly or unwillingly. The transport, the tears, and finally, the temple. Now, if Jesus had gone into the city of Jerusalem through the Golden Gate and to the Antonia Fortress, the Roman army barracks that stood on the northwest corner of the temple compound, and if he'd taken a whip to those godless Gentile oppressors, maybe he would have kept some of his supporters a little bit longer. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he goes into the temple compound itself, the very fulcrum of Israel's spiritual hopes and expectations, the ancient dwelling place of Yahweh God. And he takes a whip to the Jewish traders who were desecrating his father's house. And in so doing, he declares the temple null and void, no longer of any spiritual significance, and living on borrowed time until the Romans would come in AD 70 and knock it to the ground. For from now on, he is the temple, flesh and blood, not bricks and mortar. He is the dwelling place for the Shekinah glory of God. He is the focal point for all worship and prayer, not just from Jews, but from people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation under heaven who receive him as their rightful king. So what kind of king is this? The king of Palm Sunday and the king of Good Friday. This is our king.
They relieved the palms of their branches as the people's palms grasped and then brandished those leafy emblems of both festival and rebellion. These were a people who felt as though they had already spent their second, third, and last chances on zealots, men like Barabbas and that now famous Maccabean. But this Jesus, this new champion, was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey as Zechariah had envisioned him. This king was coming to daughter Zion to take the wicked Roman chariots away from Ephraim. Surely this Jesus was the one to bring God's people salvation. Surely he was the one pictured all across the prophet's hopeful panorama. So they shouted, "Save us, please." They cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And this Jesus would answer yes to their cry of "Save us, save us," but not in the way they expected, not by the violent overthrow predicted by their palmy political propaganda. For the humility of that donkey was nothing compared to the way he would answer their shouts of Hosanna. For the path on which he rode took him not to a throne, but to a court. Not to a place fit for a heavenly king, but to the feet of an earthly lord. It was there, before another crowd, in the hands of Pilate, whom God endowed with the power to answer the shouts rising loud, demanding crucifixion for this man who was so recently avowed as Hosanna by those who had laid down a pathway of both palm branch and personal shroud. It was there that he would show how he would answer both crowds, both the Hosanna save us cry and the incessant crucify. For what was missed by each tribe, by those who cried out their Hosanna boast and those who cried that this man should be nailed upon two posts, is that Jesus would say no to neither request. Instead, he would say yes to both. In fact, he would accomplish salvation by such infliction. He would be Hosanna by undergoing crucifixion. He would say yes to cries of love and yes to cries of hate. And for us, it is good news that he answered this way. For we too cry Hosanna. We too need to be saved. But we also cry crucify him. We also are filled with hate. We need to be rescued from our evil, but when goodness comes to us, we take what is good and by our evil hang it on a cross. But this is how he saves us. This is how he loves us. He answered our cry of need and our cry of hate with one final yes poured out as he cried, so that the sin that put him on the cross he paid for as he died, and the salvation for which we asked by his yes he supplied. So come, lay down your branches, and come, lift up your palms, for the King of our salvation said yes to the night of death so that he could raise the light of dawn.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we stand in awe of who you are and of what you've done for us. Thank you that you said yes to the crowds, Hosanna, save us. And you said yes to the shouts of crucify. And by that very crucifixion, you saved us, that we might have a relationship with the creator and sustainer of the universe, that we might enjoy eternal life, which is to know you, Father, and to know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Thank you, Jesus, for all you did for us. In your name, we gladly and joyfully pray. Amen. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you, upon those you love and pray for, and remain with you through this Holy Week to Good Friday, to the Easter tomb, and on, until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.